Well, already this morning we've had two good prayers and an excellent song service. And I appreciate each one of you being here, and I pray that we would each one be blessed today, and when we leave this place we can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord once again. The longer I live, the more convinced I am that much of our worship when we come to the house of God happens during our singing. There's so many different thoughts that come to mind, so many different experiences that are expressed, so many different needs that are addressed in the words of the songs that bring to mind so much of God's goodness and His mercy that it causes us to want to sing, doesn't it? And so a great deal of our worship actually happens during the song service. But I do pray the Lord will bless the rest of this service today, that it may be a blessing to all of us. If you want to put a title to this message today, be ye thankful. It is that time of year, isn't it? I enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday perhaps more than any other. For one reason, and one main reason, is that men have not corrupted and commercialized it as much as many of the others, and so I'm thankful for that. But the old devil is clever. Rather than us having a good season of Thanksgiving and thinking about the goodness and mercy of God and it staying with us for a long time, there's that Black Friday right after it to get people's mind back on the things of this world and to trample one another trying to get the best deal. Isn't the devil clever? Does he ever keep us from being as thankful as we should? Do we ever give in to those things? I tell you, being unthankful is one of the greatest sins of our day. And it's not just the people of the world. God's people are guilty as well. Unthankful. Apostle Paul, I guess if you want to attach a scripture reference to the title that I gave you, it would be found in Colossians 3:15, but I'm not going there yet. 2 Timothy chapter 3 introduces to us how that Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now you read this list, how he describes perilous times, and it's almost like reading the morning newspaper, doesn't it? Isn't it? I mean, when he talks about this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that is out of control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If that doesn't describe our day, I don't know where you'll find it in the Word of God. That's it. All right, now that's not to say that it hasn't ever been that way before, but it certainly is that way now. And to say that we're in the last days simply means that this is the last dispensation on God's timetable before Jesus comes again and gathers us up to take us home to be with Him forever. I'm not waiting for a 1,000-year reign of Jesus upon the earth. I'm not waiting for all those kinds of things, and I'm not singing "Wait a Little Longer, Jesus" either. He finished that work when He came the first time, and He's sitting there at the right hand of the Father, there to make intercession for us today, and when it pleases the Father, He'll come again. And we don't know the time or the day. We don't know when that will be. Only God knows. And so don't be fooled by a man's predictions or the Mayans' predictions or anything else. As far as I know, they just ran out of rocks to put the calendars on. Is the reason they stopped with their dating. But nevertheless, we find that when it pleases God, He'll bring all this to a close, won't He? Man's not going to mess up God's timetable. They're not going to interfere by setting off on a nuclear holocaust and wipe everything out. God's going to take care of that. His word says he will. He destroyed the earth one time by water, and he said he won't do that again, but he will destroy it by fire. He has told us he's going to do that. And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Now, granted, if you search out the meaning of that expression, melt with fervent heat, it is the kind of heat that you would find in a nuclear explosion. But God controls the laws of physics. If men can collide atoms and cause a nuclear explosion, what do you think would happen if God just tweaked the laws of physics a little bit and atoms started colliding everywhere? I'd say that would be a nuclear holocaust. But it'll be God doing it and not man. The last days, perilous times will come. I read that list to you of the way it describes how people will be in these last days, in these perilous times. And then in verse 5, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. We're not to have any fellowship with those who do that. Denying the power thereof. Man wants power to himself, doesn't he? Man wants to claim credit for everything. Bless your hearts, the truth of this word, and if we would proclaim the truth of this word, we would give all the glory to God. For he's the one that loved us. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that's coming back to get us again, to take us home, and he's the one that's going to deal with all the rest. All glory be unto God. Now, unthankful, being thankful, the opposite of that is complaining. Complain. Now, I know you're never guilty of that. but you might have run into one of those folks every now and then. Complainers. All right? When we think about how that the Scripture says that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and one of those traits was being unthankful. You know, it's not limited to our day. There have been other times, and the Scripture addresses other times when there's been unthankfulness. I remember on one occasion in the Scriptures, Luke 17, toward the middle of that chapter, I believe it is, but Luke 17, there were 10 lepers that were cleansed. Remember that? I know you've read that. And when they were cleansed, they were all joyful, weren't they? Okay? And just imagine how joyful that would be to have such a dreaded disease as that, the uncleanness that existed with leprosy, and to be cleansed because Jesus said the word. Oh, how wonderful that would be. And then he told them to go show themselves to the priests. And they did that. But how many of them returned to give him thanks? All right, so in Luke 17:17, we find Jesus saying, but where are the nine? Well, they're the unthankful, aren't they? Do you suppose that percentage would hold up today? That 1 in 10 are thanking God for the blessings that they receive? Maybe so. I don't know. You know, we can be cynical about it and say it's probably not even 1%. And it might not be. I don't know. But the Scriptures tell us plainly that of those 10 that were cleansed, only one came back to give him thanks. Would you have been that one? Is that our habit? Is that our practice to be thankful to God for the blessings that he's given us? I hope it is. Because there's a lot bound up in it. If the Lord will bless us for a little while to get the thoughts across this morning that we want to talk about being thankful, then I think we'll see that this thankfulness is a blessing that not only does it give glory to God, but it's a great blessing to us when we are exercised in being thankful. Perhaps you've already experienced that in life many times. In the Scriptures, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, Numbers 11, verse 1. It couldn't be any plainer, as far as I'm concerned, about how God feels about complainers and those that murmur. Numbers chapter 11, and I'm just going to get the first part of it. It says, "And when the people complained..." How do you think God felt about that? You've already read the rest of that, haven't you? I mean, could that be any plainer? I mean, now think about that. We don't necessarily, when we complain about something or murmuring, we're not in the habit of thinking, well, now, wait a minute, let's see how God thinks about that. But we should be, shouldn't we? Whatever we do, we should be mindful, is that pleasing to the Lord? All right, so Numbers 11 says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." Couldn't be any plainer. So let's just leave that off. It doesn't do us any good. It certainly doesn't do any good to for those that are around about us, does it? All right, so just kind of building a foundation here. When we think about this complaining, it's the very opposite of thanksgiving, and it's displeasing to God. As a matter of fact, and I'm not going to take the time to get into all the context of that back there in Numbers 11, but the Apostle Paul seems to be referencing that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll just get to it real quick because I probably couldn't quote it. I just want two verses, verses 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." If you'd have kept reading back there in Numbers chapter 11, you find out God judged them for their complaining. All right? He was sorely displeased. So we find here that the Apostle Paul brings this up in the New Testament. Now, why in the world would Paul reach back at the Old Testament and bring up a subject such as that when God judged them? Well, he tells us. He says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition." In other words, when we hear about it, we should be instructed not to do it. All right, it was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All right, so they were judged. Bless your hearts, that was the end of the world for some of them, as far as this world's concerned. May God help us to realize that complaining and murmuring is the opposite of what we ought to be doing as faithful disciples of the Lord, mindful of his blessings. We ought to be thankful instead of complaining. In the nature of unthankfulness, the Apostle Paul is speaking in Romans chapter 1 about the depravity of mankind. Unfortunately, sometimes God's people don't leave off some of these things as we should. But in Romans 1:21, and again, I'm just kind of laying a foundation here before we get to some more specifics. Let's see, Romans 1, let me begin in verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God..." All right, get that? When they knew God. We're not talking about somebody who's never heard of him. We're not talking about somebody that didn't know anything about God. "When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And by the way, in the original language, that "they became fools" is the same idea as over in Matthew 5 when Jesus talked about those who had lost their savor and they were good for nothing. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We need to be admonished not to be like that. We're not to have any fellowship with those kind of people. We're to be different, aren't we? We're called upon by God to walk in a way that's pleasing unto Him, showing our thanksgiving unto Him, and doing that which is pleasing to the Lord instead of displeasing Him, like He speaks of in His Word, for complaining and murmuring. All right? So when we think about then, as we've laid this foundation of some of these scriptural references that tell us and warn us about how God is displeased with unthankfulness, now let's begin to think about just what that unthankfulness is all about. That's turning away from God breeds unthankfulness and selfishness. Now just think about that for a minute. Turning away from God, in other words, seeking our own way instead of God's way. When we start seeking our own way, then that just breeds unthankfulness and selfishness. At the root of that is pride. Pride. That's what hinders us from worshiping God. That's what hinders us from humbling ourselves before God and seeking His way when we turn and try to go our own way. So that pride is there, isn't it? And it can rear its ugly head quite often, can't it? We have to deal with that. We have to keep that in check. It's rooted in pride, and if it's left unchecked, it leads to ingratitude by thinking that I deserve more, I deserve better, and that I'm responsible for the things that I have. I've made it myself. I've spent my time and energy. You know, that kind of thinking leads you right into the kind of thinking that King Nebuchadnezzar over in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, when he said that, when he was lifted up in pride, and he said, by my might, you know, have I gotten all this kingdom? Remember how God brought him down? God judged that because God is the one that had given him those things. All right? And it's very similar to what you'll find over in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I want to read a few of these verses because we're talking about being unthankful and how we need to keep that in check, because that leads us away from God and it leads us into selfishness and pride, and how we need to be careful of that. And the Moses back in Deuteronomy chapter 8 warned God's people way back then, even before they entered into the Canaan's land. We find that he warned them of these things. I'm going to begin in verse 10. When thou hast eaten, he's talking about when they went into the land to possess it. And he's admonishing them to remember all that God had commanded them. He says in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end, and thou shalt say in thine heart. Now listen. I read all of that to show you how extensive the Word of God addressed all these different areas, that when prosperity comes and when things are going well and we're not having the great troubles that cause us to remind us of the Lord, that's a great peril. We need to remember the Lord in those days as well. He says, and thou, when they had enjoyed that prosperity, if they got lifted up in their heart and say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth? He says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. A great warning from the Old Testament, not to be lifted up in pride. So why should we be thankful to God? Oh, that sounds like a foolish question, and we know the answer to that. But you would do well to dwell upon that question. Why should we be thankful to God? Has God done anything for you lately? The truth of his word is that he daily loadeth us with benefits. Now I'm going to take the truth of his word. Whether you notice them or not is another matter. But God is providing for us daily. So why should we thank him? Because he, well, let's give you a verse of scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is a very broad statement. All right? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. In other words, God's will toward us has provided so much blessing to us. He watches over us. He cares for us. He's blessed us in so many ways. When you just stop and think about the load of benefits that he gives us every day, there's every reason in the world to be thanking God every day we live. All right? So when you think about it, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you realize that your very ability to believe in him is by his grace? He has provided that to you. Why did he give that to you and not somebody else that you know that's walking according to this world? Are you so good? No, it's because he's so good. All right? That's why we thank him. That's why we praise him. His will. All right? So he has blessed us with the ability to believe in him. He's blessed us to know some of the scriptures. He's blessed us to know God's what God purposed to do through his son in saving us from our sins. When's the last time you thanked God for salvation? When's the last time you thanked God for sending his son to this world, suffering and dying in your room instead? Where would you be if he hadn't done that for you? You'd be on your road to the other place. And there is another place, isn't there? Bless your hearts, we think about God and glory and heaven's pure world, and we think about the fact that there'll be great joy and bliss forevermore in heaven's pure world. But there's another place. When our eyes close in death, because he's had mercy upon our souls, because he's blessed us with his grace and provided his son to save us from our sins, when our eyes close, we awaken his presence. Not in bodily presence, but our spirit and soul ascends to heaven to be in paradise. Isn't that what he told the thief beside? Isn't that what Jesus told the thief on the cross? When that man said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. I don't know if he had any idea when Jesus was going into his kingdom. But do you remember what Jesus told him? Today shalt thou be with me in the tomb? No. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Paradise. Now granted, wherever Jesus is, that's going to be a paradise, isn't it? Now thankfully he's in our hearts. But because he's had mercy upon us, because Jesus has died to redeem us from our sins, when our eyes close in death, we'll be blessed to be with him in paradise. That'd be wonderful. There's plenty of places on this earth that people call paradise. And I grant you, there's beautiful places. The Lord must have loved beauty. He sure gave us a lot to look at in this world. But that's fading. And someday all that's going to be burned up. Oh, but God's prepared a place for us that's never going to change. In unfailing loveliness, we'll enjoy the beauty of that place. We'll enjoy being with our Savior. We'll enjoy being with all the redeemed family of God forever and ever and ever. But there's another place. There's another place of torment. There's another place of burning. There's another place of being separated from everyone. You know, solitary confinement is a very effective way of punishment, isn't it? Do you know that's one of the characteristics of hell? You're by yourself. You see these pictures of hell and people partying and living it up. Yeah, go ahead. If that's their idea of it, they're going to be sorely disappointed. There's a place for those that are not redeemed by the blood of Christ that they will be separated from God forever and they'll suffer torment forever and ever and ever. Oh, but God, if you've been blessed to understand who Jesus is and what he's done for you, if you've been blessed to understand that he came to save us from that, we need to be reminded of that, don't we? We need to be reminded of what he saved us from. There's a reason why Jesus suffered tremendously. You know, there's people that just absolutely deny that there is a hell. Well, why did Jesus have to suffer then? You can read the Bible and it's plain that not everybody's saved. Now, other folks that get around it, there'll be some that will say, well, those that die, they're just annihilated. In other words, they're just destroyed and that's it. Bible doesn't teach that. That's the ideas of man. There's a heaven, just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. And Jesus came to this world to save us from our sins. If you want a reason to be thankful, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. All right? All that God purposed to do. So he's blessed us with the ability to believe in him. He's blessed us with some understanding of his word. He's blessed us to know something about the purposes of God, that God from the foundation of the world purposed to save his people in Christ. And in the course of time, he sent Jesus into this world to suffer and die, to shed his precious blood. But 3 days and three nights later, he arose from the grave, the greatest evidence we have that what he did was accomplished, or what he said he would do was accomplished. He was received back into glory by the Father. That's another great evidence that we have that Christ finished the work that he was sent to do, because God happily received him back into glory. If he hadn't finished the work, if he hadn't satisfied divine justice, if he hadn't satisfied the will of the Father, he wouldn't have finished the work. He wouldn't have been pleasing. Bless your hearts, we find that God from heaven, at least twice, he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now, you say, well, yeah, but he hadn't gone to the cross yet. Doesn't matter. God declares the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. If he knew that Christ was not going to satisfy the will that he came to accomplish, God the Father would not have been satisfied with him at that time. But knowing the end from the beginning, he knew that not only had Christ done everything while he was here that he was supposed to do, but he would also accomplish all that the Father sent him to do. And so Jesus could say upon the cross, "It is finished." God has blessed you to know that Jesus came to this world to finish a work. Do you know how many people, how many places in this county that you could go and gather together in the name of worship and not hear that message? Not hear that it's a finished work? Not hear that Jesus has completely saved us from our sins? You wouldn't hear that message. You'd hear that you've got to do something else to make it effectual for you. Bless your hearts, the comfort. If you indeed feel to be a sinner, if you indeed feel that labor and a heavy laden that Jesus referred to, those that come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, talking about being heavy laden with your sin, being heavy laden with the fact that you can't measure up, that you can't accomplish what you would love to do, even though you feel condemnation, The good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to save you from your sins. Now that's good news. And that's something to thank God for, because not everybody knows that. We can thank Him for that. We can thank Him for choosing His people in Christ. We can thank Him for sending Christ in this world to save us. We can thank Him for that finished work. We can thank Him for the eternal security that we have in the finished work of Christ. And then we can thank Him for His daily providence. You know, last weekend we spoke about the providence of God and how even in times of trouble, God has given us amazing evidences of His providence. And bless your hearts, as we go through life today, if you're looking for it, you can see amazing evidences of God's providence upon you even today. How wonderful that is, and we need to thank God for it. We can thank God today for His providence. We can thank Him for the fact that, as we're told in the book of Revelation, that our names are written in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? That our names, God knows His people. Remember 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He's known them from the foundation of the world. We have a personal identity with Him. He knows us individually. And our names are written in heaven. Thankfully, they're not going to be erased. Thankfully, bless your hearts, not only are they written in heaven, Jesus saved each one of them. He knew them individually. He knows us individually. He's watching over us individually. We'll be with Him in glory because of what He did for us, not what we've done for Him. All right? So as we think about then what He's done for us, if we think about how He has saved us, how we are kept by His power, bless your hearts, and we rejoice in those things, we ought to be thanking God for it every day. Have you thanked God lately for those things? Oh, we ought to be thanking Him every day that we live. How should we thank Him? We talked about why we should thank Him, but how should we thank Him? All right? Do you know He tells us we should be thanking Him continually? Remember Hebrews 13:15? Giving praise unto God continually. All right? Let me turn to it. I'm not quoting it exactly right. Hebrews 13. He says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. All right, when we offer sacrifices of praise, He later says, that's giving thanks. Bless your hearts, we ought to be thanking Him continually. All right? Not only can we thank Him continually, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, speaks about giving thanks always for all things. Always. So we've talked about that in the past, how that we're to thank Him always and for all things. Think about that for just a moment now. I know there are things in life that come our way that we might be saying in our mind right now, well, you know, I don't thank God for that, and I don't thank God for that. Well, listen, look at the context here. When we thank God, and let me turn to that, make sure I quoted that right when I'm explaining what I'm talking about here. Ephesians 5, verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know he says all things, but there's other places in Scripture where he talks about all things. You know, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All right, you have to consider the context. And particularly what I'm talking about here in Ephesians 5 and 20, when he's talking about giving thanks always for all things. Let me give you an illustration that would help you. If you were to invite me over to your house, and you prepared a nice meal, and we had some good time of fellowship, and then as I was leaving, if I said, thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. Well, now, would you think that I'm talking about the bad things that's happening in the world and hadn't had any rainfall or thanking you for the rainfall? No, I'm not talking about that. When I'm talking about thank you for everything, I'm talking about all that you had done and all that you, the kindness that had been shown at that time. All right? When we thank God, we thank Him for all the blessings, for all that He is and all that He's done for us. Every day we live, there's plenty of reason for us to be thanking God for all of these things. All right? So when He tells us that we are to thank Him continually and we're to thank Him always, bless your hearts, is saying just that. That every day we live, there's things that we can be thanking Him for. Now the devil's at work and he's doing plenty of things, and I'm not going to thank God for the things the devil does. And I'm not going to say that something good's going to come out of every bad thing that happens. We live in a fallen world. Because of sin, we come short. The bad things happen in this world. But thank God Jesus came into this world to save us from all of that. And someday, no matter how bad the circumstances are right now, we're going to be delivered from that. Can you thank Him for that? Can you thank Him for the prospect of not only eternal salvation in the sense of the legal work that Jesus did in redeeming us from our sins, but the actuality of it, that someday He's going to lift us out of this low ground of sin and sorrow and take us home to a perfect world? That's what we need to be thinking about. And when you're thinking about those things, you can praise God for it and you can thank Him. There's something to thank Him for every single moment. Not in every circumstance, but every moment of our life, we've got something to thank God for. All right? So we know why we should be thanking Him. We need to know how we should be thanking Him. Let's talk about for a little bit. Time's about gone. Let's talk for a little bit about some of the benefits. Is there any benefit that you'll receive from thanking God? Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad, because there's plenty of them. All right? I know there's plenty of them. And I ask that question for a reason. Are you sure? Because if we're really sure, we'd be doing more of it. Okay? The benefits. There's benefits from being exercised in giving thanks. All right? By the way, those of you who exercise on a regular basis, or maybe you remember the day when you did, if it's been a long time since you did that, are you still benefiting from some of that exercise? It's possible. But if it's been a real long time, you know, I mean, it has diminishing value, doesn't it? I mean, after a while, you may digress and go back to the way you were. But my point is, the more regularly, just like you benefit from regularly exercising, then by regularly thanking God, there's more benefit to us now. We can kind of get lazy, can't we? We can kind of get unmindful of God's blessings. We can kind of get distracted. We can kind of get our mind on other things and not remember to thank Him as we should. But regularly thanking God for the blessings that we have has a way of keeping bitterness and complaining in check. I mean, how can you be bitter and complain to God when you've been thanking Him for all of His blessings? You know, those things just don't go hand in hand, do they? All right? So it helps you to keep in check bitterness and complaining. It helps your attitude. Anybody need any attitude adjustment? I do sometimes. Just ask Sister Nancy. And I suspect you do too. All right? Well, what better adjustment to our attitude can there be than thinking about the goodness and mercy of God, the grace of God, when we hadn't deserved any of His blessings, and yet He daily loads us with benefits? I tell you, that causes us to be thankful. It also reminds us that God can save anybody. Now, sometimes we get pharisaical, and sometimes we see so much evidence from somebody's life that we think that can't be a child of God. And if you keep thinking that way, you're going to be judgmental. You're going to be thinking, you're going to be taking prerogatives that only God can take. You know, who would have thought that Saul of Tarsus would have been a faithful apostle of the Lord when he was going about persecuting folks that didn't believe the way he did? Who would have thought that John Newton, you know, we pick on those two, but there's plenty of others. But who would have thought that John Newton, when he was such an ungodly man during a great deal of his life, who would have thought that he would ever write a hymn such as Amazing Grace? From his own experience. Bless your hearts. God can save anybody He wants to. And the Apostle Paul speaks of how he was a blasphemer and how he compelled others to blaspheme. He stoned others or had others put to death. God saved him. And God can save anybody He wants to. Can you be thankful for that? There's some other folks that might come to mind today that you might think, well, it'd be nice if God would save them. I'm not going to call any names. You know who I'm talking about. All right? God can save whoever He wants to. Aren't you thankful for that? And there has never been one person that said, I wish God had saved me, that's not already saved. Because if you have that desire in your heart, bless your hearts, it's because God put it there. You are one of His. Many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And heaven will be their home. One of the marks, you know, so it helps us, it helps humble us. When we talk about how that God can save anybody He wants to, then the effect it has upon us is it humbles us, because we start thinking about what we are by nature, maybe how we acted at one time, and yet God had mercy upon us. We didn't deserve it, but He did. How thankful we ought to be for His love, His mercy, His grace, His provisions, all those things that we enjoy each day. Thankfulness, another benefit of being thankful, that it shows maturity. Shows maturity. You know, you don't often hear little children thanking their parents for providing for them. You don't hear children thanking their parents for all that they've had to suffer that's a blessing to them. You don't hear that until they grow up. Until they've experienced some of that themselves. Then, hopefully, you'll start hearing some of that. You know, that's the way God's children are. Until we grow, until we mature, we're not very thankful for all that God's done for us. Oh, but when we can thank God every day we live for all that He provides for us, all that He has provided, and all that we hope to receive from His bountiful hand, that shows a great measure of maturity. And what a blessing that is, not only bringing glory to God, but it's a blessing to others around about us. It's a mark of maturity. Another thing is it'll guard us against depression. Oh, don't we hear a lot about that in the world today? Okay? And it's real. It's real. And it's something that is a great struggle for those that are having to deal with it. But depression is filled with a lack of being mindful of who God is and who we are. I think I heard someone say before services this morning, we're a child of the King. You know, you think about that on a daily basis? Whose child we are? You know, we belong to the Lord. Heard somebody say one time, when the devil's after you, you know, just rebuke him and say, you know, get away, you know, said, you're trespassing on my Father's property. You know, think about it in those terms. Jesus shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. He bought us. We're his. And we'll be his forever. We can thank him for that. We can rejoice in it every day. When you think about all that he has given to us, think about 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then don't forget verse 58. Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, as we think about all that he's done for us, it gives us reason to be thankful and to bless his holy name. So when you think about the benefits from being exercised in thankfulness, I hope you'll come to the conclusion that you can't find joy without being thankful. You ever thought about that? You're not going to find joy. I'm not talking about fun. There's plenty of fun that people have in this world. Lasts for a little while and it's over. But joy is that love of God that we have in our heart. It's remembering God's love for us. It's remembering how we're secure in him. No matter what the circumstances of this life might be, it helps us to remember what God is, who God is, and what he's done for us. I tell you, that'll bring joy in your heart. But it's hard to find joy without being thankful. But there's something else to that, all right? Not only is it hard to find joy without being thankful, but you can't be thankful without experiencing some joy. It just goes hand in hand, doesn't it? All right? So to be exercised in the things of God, to be exercised in remembering how God has blessed us and all the good things that we have in him, I tell you, it helps us to be thankful. Let me ask you a question. Getting close to closing here. We're in this season of the year when we call Thanksgiving, and we have that day set aside, but think about how that day came about. Think about what, you know, history tells us about that first Thanksgiving day. Think about that for just a minute. When they had enjoyed a bountiful harvest, they were thankful for it. All right? Now listen, how thankful do you think they were? Were they just mouthing some words? Were they honoring God with their lips, but their heart was far from them? No, they had had some tremendous struggle. They got hungry. You ever been hungry? I'm not talking about hearing your stomach growl. I'm talking about going days and days and days, not knowing when your next meal is going to be. We've never had to experience that, have we? Because such prosperity has been ours to enjoy most of the days of our lives, we've not had to experience that. Now, there may have been some lean times, and we've had to get through that. But I'm talking about those people, when they came over, and those early settlers. And by the way, it wasn't the first ones that came over. There were some others that came over, and they could have joined themselves up at Jamestown, but they chose to be separate. The separatists, by the way. They chose a separate place. And some of them died. Some of them were so hungry they died. They had to endure the bitter cold. And then, amazingly, this next spring, the heathens of the land helped them in growing food. You think that was the providence of God? I'll say it was. And so when they had that bountiful harvest, they were thinking back over some of the struggles that they'd had. They were thinking back over some of the hunger and the pain and the cold that they'd had to endure. And they were thankful. We ought to find a good reason to be thankful today. Something that will motivate us in thanking God every opportunity we have. He's been so good to us. It's hard, I know. It's hard on these old natural bodies of ours. When things are good, it's hard for us to remember to be thankful. But bless your hearts, when you'll dwell upon what God has done for you, if you'll dwell upon how unworthy we are of His grace, and yet He's so bountifully bestowed upon us, it will cause you to be more thankful. And we need that as much as we can. And so, in closing, Colossians 3:15. Colossians, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. All right? There's some guidelines there, and I don't have time to get into a lot of it. But he says we're called to be united in one body. That's the call. That's God's people that have been called from nature's darkness into His glorious light. All right? He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and the reason is so that we could show forth the praises of Him who's done that. He's called us into one body, as a body of people, as His church. We ought to be praising God. We ought to be thanking Him for all that He has done for us and live in peace among ourselves before God. And He says, be ye thankful. I hope I've given you a lot of reasons this morning that you can ponder. I hope you'll take it home and think about what we've said today. Think about what we've talked about. Think about the reasons why we should praise God, how we should be praising God, and how the benefits of being exercised in thanking God. Because I'll tell you, if you'll be exercised in thanking God, if you'll be exercised in remembering His goodness and mercy upon you, it'll help you against complaining. It'll help you against bitterness. It'll help you against depression. It will help you to see just how blessed we are. And you'll have a multitude of reasons to offer up praise and adoration in thanksgiving unto God for all of His mercy and His grace upon us. May God help us to have that presence of mind before God, to worship Him and to thank Him as we should, for all the blessings that we've received. May God bless you is our prayer.